Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the letter of the Ephesians, from chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Listen for what God may be saying to the church this day. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Many are prone to saying these days that we are a deeply divided country. I myself repeat the idea, and in some ways we are. We have felt the divisions, many of us have felt them in our own families. But I wonder if we can find a deeper shared commitment to the common good. And I wonder specifically what role Christians like ourselves can play in that. Ephesians is a book about the character development of Christians. Being transformed by Jesus is described as putting on new garments. In chapter 4, Paul instructs the church, clothe yourselves with a new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This new self is also described in the letter to the Colossian church as compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the vision that God has for us of our identity when we clothe ourselves in Jesus, when we become the body of Christ, the church. In the context of Ephesians, the full armor of God could almost be thought of as another garment that can shape our character. The verses begin, "Be strong in the Lord." The translation we're using hides the passive verb in the original Greek. It would be more accurately translated, "Be made strong in the Lord, in the strength of God's power." Paul is suggesting that we allow ourselves to be made strong. There's a power greater than ourselves that is making us stronger than we can be on our own. There's something in that about humility. There's a stepping aside, a giving up control in order to let that larger, stronger, godly power support us. To describe it more, Paul uses the metaphor of protective gear. There's the belt of truth, which would protect us from deceit. the breastplate of righteousness, not self-righteousness, but right relationship and right action that keeps us connected to others, shoes that make us ready to proclaim a gospel of peace through the actions we take, the places we go, the way we walk. Frederick Buechner once wrote, "If you want to know who you really are, as distinct from who you like to think you are, keep an eye on where your feet take you." In the armor of God, there's the shield of faith that quenches all the flaming arrows coming at us, and the helmet of salvation that protects us. The one item on this list that might be called a weapon is the sword, and it's the sword of the Spirit, also called the Word of God. This weapon carries a message, a gospel of peace. Paul seems to be turning a symbol of war, armor, into a metaphor for a life filled with the nonviolence and the love of Jesus Christ. Earlier in chapter 3, Paul prays that the Ephesians may be strengthened in their inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. Doing this, Paul says, Christians will be rooted and grounded in love. If Christians can allow ourselves to be transformed in this way, we will be filled with all fullness of God, Ephesians says. Somehow putting on the full armor of God can help with achieving this fullness of God and clothing ourselves in the new life of Christ. In the meantime, there is cruelty and danger in the world. That's real. Metaphorical flaming arrows are heading for our chests. Author and social scientist Brené Brown made a podcast almost 4 years ago on the night of the last presidential election. In the weeks before that, she had been sharing some of her political thoughts and opinions online, a bold move. And she reflected in this podcast on the pushback that she got to that transparency of hers. People told her to keep her mouth shut, to keep writing the same kinds of books that she'd been writing, but don't talk about politics. And she received graphic and violent threats against herself and her family. We know that threats like these have been acted on. We do need to protect ourselves and report threats and be careful and cautious in the world. Thankfully, no one acted on those threats that Dr. Brown received. In her podcast, what she described was her spiritual and inner process of dealing with threats to her safety, those flaming arrows coming at her. She got the fight energy in her body. She felt her shields go up. She armored herself, she said. But she didn't want to stay that way. She didn't want to live that way with hardness and fear. She said in her podcast, "Vulnerability is the birthplace of love, joy, trust, intimacy, courage, everything that I want more of in my life. And an armored front sounds good when I'm hurting, but it ends up causing us so much more pain in the end. You know, when we let people take our vulnerability or fill us with their hate, we turn over our entire lives to them." She said that when she looks at some of these hateful comments that she received, she tries to say to the people who wrote them, "You just can't have my hate. I can't give up my soft front for you. The price is too high." Dr. Brown pledges not to hate. That doesn't mean she's going to allow people to harm her family or herself, because she's not. But she's also not going to allow them to change her into an enemy, a person filled with hatred. She's not going to give up the vulnerability that opens her to love, joy, trust, intimacy, and courage. I'd call this a spiritual practice. And she's describing it, and it takes practice. It's not about being passive or allowing evil or cruelty to flourish. We are called to confront and challenge those things. But the practice is about being strong enough to resist evil and soft enough to live an abundant life of love and joy. This idea of having what Brené Brown calls a soft front is one that she got from Joan Halifax, a Buddhist teacher, a Zen priest, and author of several books on engaged Buddhism. Roshi Joan Halifax says, "All too often, our so-called strength comes from fear, not love. Instead of having a strong back, many of us have a defended front, shielding a weak spine. In other words, we walk around brittle and defensive, trying to conceal our lack of confidence. If we strengthen our backs," she said, "metaphorically speaking, and develop a spine that's flexible but sturdy, then we can risk having a soft front that's soft and open." How can we give and accept care with a strong back, soft front, compassion, moving past fear to a place of genuine tenderness? "I believe," she said, "it comes when we can be truly transparent, seeing the world clearly and letting the world see into us." Strong back, soft front, she says. This idea can help us reflect on the nature of the armor of God. Paul is teaching us how to be shielded appropriately and how to be strengthened in our inner being with power through God's Spirit. That's a strong back, inner strength, God's love in us. I'm taking this idea from a Buddhist teacher and examining how it intersects with a Christian teaching. This is one way that our interfaith partners can help us become stronger Christians. A strong back is based on a sense of confidence and conviction about our identity as God's own. Counterintuitively, we get that strength, that sense of confidence and conviction through surrender to God, through vulnerability, through humility and giving up the idea that we can do it all on our own. Having a strong back means being rooted and grounded in God's love for us. We can nurture and sustain a strong sense of self, knowing who we are and living from that place. Strong back, backbone, God's love. This creates a shield against flaming arrows that would attack our spirits, diminish us, make us fearful, that would define us as something less than what we are. And what are we? We are beautiful, kind, generous, joyful, precious, devoted, strong, capable of many things, desiring to be well and do well, desiring to grow into God's dreams for us, dreams of our flourishing. Some of us have to work especially hard to develop strong backs, to live into this conviction. We have to practice and practice it. And others of us have to work especially hard to develop soft fronts. We have to remind ourselves again and again to hold on to our vulnerability, to be transparent, to not allow ourselves to be turned into haters. Jesus teaches non-retaliation so that we don't become enemies ourselves. A couple of election cycles ago, I asked my dad what he was afraid of. He told me he was afraid of dictatorship. I told him I was afraid of the same thing, but we were voting for opposite candidates. On another day, he asked me what I thought of the transgender bathroom controversy. And on yet another day, he asked me, "What's this woke thing?" I loved my dad for many reasons. But on those days, I especially loved him for asking about what I thought and for listening with openness and care. He engaged me with a soft front, and neither of us gave up our convictions, but we allowed each other to see each other. We had vulnerability and transparency with each other. One Christmas, I bought my dad a particular brand of socks. He asked me, "Are these the socks I saw on TV, where every pair you buy, another pair is given to someone in need?" I told him they were, and he was so pleased by that. He cared about people. He wanted to be generous. He wanted to be kind. He wanted to help. Most of us care about the common good. Most of us want things to be fair. Sometimes we have different ideas about what makes things fair, and we need to keep talking about that. We need to keep learning from each other and gaining the insights that diverse lives and diverse experiences give us as a people. None of us have the full picture, and that's one reason why we need each other. That's a very Presbyterian perspective, by the way. And it's also a perspective that will help us have a strong democracy. We need to keep talking, welcoming diverse voices. The more we can do this, the more we can resist becoming enemies, the more we can invest in building the common good, the commonwealth, as Jesus talks about, the kingdom of God. Reconciliation and relationship are needed for a strong society, but not everyone wants to be reconciled. That's sometimes a difficult thing to accept. We can't be reconciled with someone who does not want to be reconciled with us. Sometimes the best we can do is try for forgiveness on our end. It may be a one-sided solution to a conflict, but at least it sets our spirits free from being stuck in hostility. At the same time, there are many, many, many people who do want to be connected, respected, understood, and included. That's what reconciliation looks like. It doesn't mean giving up our convictions. It doesn't mean giving up our differences, but it does mean putting down our shields and using our words and walking our faith, trusting in the gospel of peace that Christ gives us, strong backs, soft fronts, love of God, making us strong. So I want to try something here. Let's practice this. Here are some words to repeat as a kind of meditation. If you're feeling brave, you can say it out loud and repeat it after me, and those of you at home can do this too. Repeat after me. Try this on for size. Strong back.
Strong back.
I know who I am. Beloved and lovely. Child of God. Fierce and devoted. Soft front. I care who you are. I listen with interest. I don't know all of who you are, but I do know some things. That you are beloved and lovely. Child of God. Fierce and devoted. I care who you are. I know who I am. Strong back, soft front. Amen. Wearing the full armor of God, may we experience the mystery of the gospel of peace and proclaim it boldly with our lives. May it be so. Amen.